Take your Bibles, turn if you would to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin this morning by reading verses 16 and 17 from 2 Timothy chapter 3. So I'm starting a series on what Baptists believe. We've had several visitors coming and going over the past few months, and looks like more going than coming at the moment. I know Al and Joe had to make a run to the airport. Others, I think, I know a couple of families are away visiting people today. We've got some sickness. Sarah and Jack and some others couldn't be here with us today, and so we miss them. Just because people come to church doesn't mean that they know what we believe or what the Bible says. And sometimes it's good to step back and kind of get all together and start back with some of the basics. And it's always a good thing for us to be reminded and even encouraged by those things also who have been Christians for a longer period of time. This is not so much about what Baptists believe as what I believe, what this church believes and stands upon. Some of these things, many of these things we'll look at from God's Word, are not unique to Baptists. They should be unique to every born-again child of God, no matter what denominational title you hold. But sadly, even some churches that have the title Baptist no longer believe and have abandoned the fundamentals of the faith of the Word of God. But we will not. We will contend for the faith. We will stand upon the faith presented to us in God's Word. And we will start with God's Word itself this morning. What do Baptists believe about the Bible? Well, it kind of sums it up here in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those that are here. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling, who are visiting away, or those who are sick today, that you would lift them up. We pray, Lord, that you would answer any unspoken requests that are on the hearts and minds of your people today. We thank you, Lord, that we know from your word that you are a prayer-hearing God. Not only do we know that from your word, but we have seen that demonstrated in each and every one of our lives. As you have answered our prayers, if you have shown your hand mighty in our behalf and in behalf of those that we love, we pray, Lord, that as we look into your word today, that you would do a mighty work, that you would open up our understanding, that you would strengthen our faith in the word, and most importantly, in the God of the word today that we worship and in whom we have put our trust, that he is an unchanging Savior, and that you can guide us in each and every area of our life to bring glory to your name and to present us one day spotless before the throne, your throne in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The song I sang just a moment ago speaks of firm foundation that we have in Jesus Christ and his word. We serve an unchanging Savior. And because we serve an unchanging Savior, we can be confident in that which we believe. We can be confident as we carry out his will in our lives, that he is with us, that he hasn't forsaken us, that he isn't going to change, and that what he has stated in his word is authoritative. What he has stated in his word, we can count on, and we can base our life upon it. Sadly, that is not the case for most of the world and society in which we live today. There is a great deal of confusion. There is a great deal of doubt because our society has unanchored itself, unmoored itself from the unchanging truth of the Word of God. There is no longer a standard in the minds of most of our people in society today. Truth is whatever you want truth to be, as though truth can be something for one person and truth can be something else for another. Morality is whatever we decide and whatever society decides. It is not based on an objective authority as in the God who created us. And so there is mass confusion in the world in which we live today. And sadly, on the road that leads to destruction. They need the Word of God. They need to find the narrow way that leads to life. We have that. We must contend for it. We must stand upon it. We must proclaim it without shame, without hesitancy, putting our faith in the God of the Word. What is the Bible? What is the Bible? Well, the Bible is the greatest book ever written. That is true. The Bible is the greatest story ever told. The Bible is the all-time bestseller. It is the one unified book telling one cohesive story, yet written by 40 different authors from several different works of life over a time span of more than a millennium. That's what the Bible is. It is undoubtedly and verifiably the most well-preserved book of ancient times. Its earliest writings have survived nearly 3,000 years in hundreds of nearly identical copies. It contains hundreds of prophecies which have already come true and none which have been proven false. It contains the most accurate and insightful history of the ancient world and the world of Jesus' day, having been verified again and again by archaeologists and historians. When I went to visit Israel, archaeologists over there were starting to come to grips with the fact that if they really wanted to find that which they were digging for, that they best start with what? Start with the Bible to locate it. And guess what? When they started with the Bible to locate it, they found it. Imagine that. Again and again. The scientific knowledge recorded in Scripture is often given far in advance of the knowledge of the day and yet inexplicably accurate. Its estimation and description of man and the human condition is without equal, proving again and again man's predisposition to violence, immorality and greed, and many other vices which clearly demonstrate man's depraved condition. Almost every other religion starts with, well, man really is innately good, and you just have to tap into that goodness. But the Bible teaches that man, because of his sin nature, is innately bad, and that we need an outside source to change us, to redeem us from our fallen condition. And that outside source is Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Even with the passing of time, it remains a relevant and beneficial source of information and enlightenment in virtually every field of study, every aspect of life. And despite the attempts of men throughout history to silence it, it, like the wisdom found therein, cries louder and louder every day, refusing to be muzzled and changing forever the lives of those who heed its warnings of coming judgment, who are delivered through faith in its Redeemer and restored by its message of hope. This is the Bible. John 8:32 says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free." And the truth of God's Word has made men free in every century, in every place, free from the penalty and the bondage of sin, free to serve the God who created them. It has been the catalyst for freedom in other aspects of life as well. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That truth is found primarily within the pages of the Word of God. What an incredible book we have. Yet what makes it truly the greatest literary, academic, and religious work of all is this, and I didn't specifically mention it in that list. Here it is. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Why is it that it is the greatest book ever written or the greatest story ever told? The bestseller of all time tells one cohesive story, is true when it speaks of history, of science, of man's own condition, of the way of redemption, because it is the Word of God. And that is what makes it the Bible. That is what makes it most relevant to us today. That is what makes it powerful. That is what makes it the truth that sets man what? That sets man free. Not merely the words, thoughts, and opinions of men, but the Word of God. Paul praised the Thessalonians when he wrote them in 1 Thessalonians 2 for recognizing that the word that he preached and the scriptures that he quoted were not simply the words of men, but the words of God. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually, powerfully worketh also in you that believe. Paul says, we are grateful, we are thankful. Why? Because when you heard the word of God, you received it not as the words of Paul, but as the words of who? Of God, that is able, that is powerful to change men's, women's, boys' and girls' lives forever. And because you received it as His word and His message, it changed you. Because we have received it as God's word and God's message, it has changed us. It is not just an academic pursuit. It is not just a study of literature or history or science. It is the Word of God revealed to man. And that is what makes it ultimately unique. And it is because of that that it is the foundation of our faith as Christians and Baptists. Yes, the Word of God, yet the Word of God, just as the incarnation, deity, and resurrection of Christ, just as God's plan of redemption, just as a literal six-day creation, many other foundational truths found therein, is under an increasing attack from the modern world in which we live, where the philosophy of men and the lies of Satan rule the day instead of the truth of God's Word. Why is it that people are all confused? Why is it that suicide rates continue to climb? Why is it that immorality is pretty much just considered by most people normal today? Why is it that violence continues to escalate? Why is it that we can't stop going to war around the world? Why? Well, because we have rejected the God of peace. We've rejected the God that we read about in the pages that is revealed to us in His Word. And we've accepted the philosophy of men in place of the words of who? The words of God. As Jesus said, you have replaced the commandments of God with the commandments of men. And it's no wonder that you're in the mess that you're in. The one thing Satan has to do in this world to keep it bound in sin is to get this out of the minds and the hearts of men. And he is very hard at work trying to do that. We've seen that in our world, in our country, as we've taken the Bible out of the public arena, and we've seen the result of it. The Word of God is ignored, belittled, questioned, and rejected by modern men on a daily basis in every way, from the science teacher to the psychologist to the philosopher to the historian, and yes, even in the pulpit. It is treated as any other flawed book. And in many religious settings, it is explained away rather than accepted, declared, and followed by faith as the Word of God. As we sit here, you sit there today, and I stand here today preaching the truth of God's Word, there is many a pastor in a pulpit that is explaining away the Word of God, or at least attempting to, rather than declaring. What a sad testimony to the state of Christendom in this world in which we live. It has been often twisted, distorted, misquoted to justify that which is evil and perverse. Well, it has been simply dismissed and rejected by most of the scholarly world. Yet, despite all of man's attempts and Satan's attempts to change it, to distort it, to do away with it, it has, it does, and it shall endure. Man will not succeed, and neither will Satan. Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church," and the church is founded upon the what? On the Word of God, the written Word, and the living Word, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall what? Shall stand forever." Governments will fall. Societies will cease. Civilization shall crumble. But God's Word shall stand forever. And we can stand thereon in our faith. Why will it stand forever? Because it is not a mere collection of religious writings or philosophies dredged up out of the whimsical, ever-changing, and finite mind of men. It is the Word of God Himself revealed to us. Back to 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by what? By inspiration of God. It is given by, because it is given by inspiration of God, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It is all of that because it is the inspired Word of God. Now, we throw around that word inspired today in a very general and loose sense. You know, well, I was inspired to write this song, or I was inspired by that movie I saw. Okay? But that's not the same, the way this word is used in Scripture, particularly in this verse. The word translated inspired in the English Bible is God-breathed. It means God-breathed. Well, what happens when you breathe out? I'm breathing out right now. My breath carries my words when I breathe out. Okay? The Bible, the Word of God, is His Word. It is His very communication to us as His words, as His nature, as His power are carried by the breath of God into the hearts and minds of men. It is God breathed. It is inspired. It's His Word. We read 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 out of the bulletin this morning. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means that nobody just thought it up on their own. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. It wasn't man's will. But holy men of God, chosen men, separated by God for this purpose, spake as they were moved along, carried along by who? By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. The Word of God we have here before us is written by the Holy Spirit, because it was He that moved the hearts and minds and pens of the men who wrote the Word of God, so that what we have today is infallibly the Word of God to us. That's what Baptists believe. That's what every Christian should believe. The Bible is the Word of God communicated to us. You say, well, how could God do that? I don't understand. That's why we call it a what? A miracle. A miracle. You say, well, how can a baby be born without a human father? That's how we call it a what? A miracle. How can Jesus rise again from the dead? That's why we call it a what? A miracle. It is the hand of Almighty God reaching down to fallen man, revealing Himself, working in His creation to bring about the redemption of humanity. That is a miracle. This here is a miracle. Do you believe in miracles? I hope you do. If you believe in the Word of God, then you believe in miracles, because this is one right here that God has given to us. A mighty miracle. And we believe it, receive it, and heed it. Because it is the Word of God in all matters discussed and revealed, it is trustworthy. It is infallible. It is without error. It carries the authority of who? Of God who wrote it, who spoke it. In matters of prophecy, its words can be counted on to come to pass. I believe that. Do you believe that? That is why I believe that one of these days Christ is coming back for His church. And one day, one moment I'll be standing here, and the next I'll be where? With Jesus in heaven. Or maybe my body will be in the grave and it'll come out in just the twinkling of an eye. But it's going to happen because the Bible says it. One day Jesus Christ is coming again to set up His kingdom. I believe it. The Bible says it. Because it is the Word of God, because it is trustworthy, we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Now there are some in the world today that boohoo that notion, and some who even call themselves Christians. What's the problem? The problem is they call themselves Christians, but they don't even believe in the foundation of the Christian faith. The Bible says it. I believe it. In matters of science, it reveals an accurate account of the origins of mankind and the laws that govern the workings of God's creation. No, it doesn't cover every aspect of science in the world. But the science that it does speak upon, it can be what? It can be trusted. Let's start with creation. We believe in a six-day creation of the world and mankind by the direct act of Almighty God. We do not believe in evolution. We do not believe that we are an accident. We do not believe that we came from some primordial ooze and evolved into mankind over millions and billions of years. Why? Because the Bible says, God said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. The Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that's the way man was created. And if scientists were honest, if scientists were willing to receive God's Word as God's true account of creation, they would see that the evidence they find actually falls in line with the Word of God and not with the fantasies of evolution. In matters of philosophy, the wisdom of God revealed therein far surpasses the wisdom of man. has been proven time and time again to work despite the unbelief of many. That is why we believe the answer to man's problems, both spiritual and psychological, have their foundation in the Word of God and not in the words of Freud. I will put my faith in the Word of God. I will take the Word of God to the needs and problems of men. For God has the answers. And the foundation is found here. In matters of history, the Bible is the greatest source in the world, particularly in the Middle East, and when it comes to archaeology and human diversity across the globe. That is why we believe this. The Jews, the Israelites, are actually God's what? Chosen people. Though set aside for a time due to their unbelief, they are His chosen people. And Jerusalem, His chosen city, to which He will one day return. Why do I believe that? Because that's what the what? That's what the Bible says. In matters of morality, it is the final authority by which man will be judged. That is why we preach that every life is precious, born or unborn, black or white, Jew or Gentile, frail or strong, young or old, sick or whole, normal or abnormal. Every life is what? Precious. And the taking of such a life, innocent life, is what? Is murder. That is why we teach, because God's Word is the final authority in morality. That is why we teach that sexual perversions, adultery, promiscuity, fornication, homosexuality, pornography are an affront to our Creator, which brings upon mankind and society the judgment of God. We live in a society that's abandoning those things. We will not. We will put our faith and trust in the Word of God, because our God does not change. That is why we believe that it is still a sin to get drunk. It is still a sin to curse and use profanity, to abuse spouse, child, or neighbor, to steal and defraud, to lie and cheat, to gossip and slander, to show partiality toward another based on race, ethnicity, status, or economic class. And we can go on and on and on with that list. But finally, and most importantly, it is a sin to reject the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ the Savior. For the gods and idols and religions of the world. That is the sin that condemns men to hell. The rejection of God's offer of salvation through faith in His Son. In matters related obviously to God and the spiritual need of mankind for redemption, it is the truth that alone can set men free. And that is why we believe that salvation from sin and hell is by grace, through faith alone, in the shed blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and His resurrection from the tomb. We believe it, and we will proclaim that it is the only way to eternal life. Sadly, not all churches are preaching that today. And sadly, a great deal of our society has abandoned it. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Just Jesus. John 3:18, for God so loved the world, 16 and 18, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him, Jesus, is not condemned. Praise the Lord. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We preach the gospel, that's the gospel, because the gospel is the only way to be saved. Where do we find that? In the Word of God. And so that's what we want. That's what we believe. And that's what we preach. And that is what we have experienced who have been born again. And that's what we bring to others so that they too might know Him and the grace of God that saves the human soul and gives us eternal life. That is the Word of God. Its purpose, to reveal God to men. His nature, He is love, He is holy, He is one, a triune God. His purpose in His creation, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The Bible tells us God's purpose in this world, why He created us, and how He is going to redeem us. The reason for which He sent His Son, that we might be saved. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It tells us of His judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the what? The judgment. That those of us who know Christ will stand before the Bema seat one day to receive the rewards of those things done in the body, and that the lost, whose names are not found written in the book of life, will be cast into the what? Lake of fire. Why do we believe in heaven and hell? Why do we believe in a lake of fire? I tell you why I believe it, because it says it where? Here, in the Word of God. And I trust the God that gave me this. And I believe His Word. What does that take? It takes faith. It takes faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is given to us that we might know the nature of the God we serve, and it is given to us that we might have everything necessary to know and to do His will. Back to 2 Timothy 3:16, it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, that we might know the truth. It is profitable for proof and correction, warning and rebuke in matters of faith, belief, and action, that He might take us off the path that leads to destruction and put us on the path that leads to blessing. It is given to us that we might be completely furnished, equipped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, to be clothed in His righteousness by faith and to live righteously as His children. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is powerful. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. It is perfect. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the testimony of sure, making wise the simple. And it is God's way of producing faith in the hearts of men. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the Word of God. So what is it that Baptists believe about the Bible? We believe it is the Word of God. We believe that it is the truth. We believe that it can be counted upon, believed, and trusted in whatever it says. It is our foundation, given to us by our God. It is the written Word. Jesus Christ is our living Word. The question today is this: will you receive? Do you believe? Will you obey His Word? Or will you reject it? I know most of you here today. I wish we had an auditorium full of people I didn't know. so that they could hear this message. But I'm glad you're here. And I hope you're encouraged and strengthened to stand upon the Word of God. But if you're here today and you've never trusted the God of the Word, you've never trusted the subject of the Word, Jesus Christ the Redeemer, I hope as we finish the message and we go to the invitation that you'd come today and receive Him as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for the opportunity to share how great a book, how great a word it is, how wonderful a letter you have sent to us and preserved for us that we might know you, that we might know salvation through Christ, that we might know how to live to bring honor to the name of the one who has given us life, Lord. Help us to read it, to meditate upon it, to heed it in our lives, that we might live to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, I pray that we would be busy proclaiming it to a lost world. For if they do not hear it from us, if they do not hear it from God's children, they just will not hear it today. Lord, help us to be your mouthpiece to share your word with a needy world who needs a Savior. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.